Good morning. How is everybody? Well, Jeff asked me last night to open, so I always seek the Lord and ask him what he wants me to say. He brought me to Philippians 4:6 through 4:8. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything be by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." So I just encourage you to clear your mind of the things of this week and to put your focus on Jesus Christ today. The other scripture that he led me to was 1 Timothy 6:11. It says, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." So next we'll go to, you can get your hymnals, and we'll praise the Lord.
Are you on back? Number 350, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me, the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more."
Now we have some announcements. We have Tuesday at 10 o'clock, we have women's prayer. And Wednesday, we have at 7 o'clock, that's our Bible study. And at that same night at 7, we have a youth group where Ben Gleason will be giving the message, and he is phenomenal. I would hit that even if I wasn't. If you're not youth, hit it anyway. It's very good. And he's actually been having a few studies at his house Thursday nights at 7. We hit, I've hit two of them now, and they're just phenomenal. They're not just youth. We had the Rice family last Thursday, and they came in with their helicopter, and it was like, that was crazy cool. And then Friday we have Mighty Men at Jeff's at 7, and Girls with Swords will be that Friday as well, and that's at 7 o'clock at the Capels. Was this? Oh, okay. Alrighty. And then, so we're going to do some worship. But as you guys have probably heard, there's some stuff. You've probably heard it through the news or social media or friends. Some stuff's been going on in our country. And, you know, the government's making those smart decisions they've been known for. You know? And you know, with gas prices going up and Bruce Jenner doing what he does, whatever. I would just encourage everybody to get over that and just focus on the Lord, because he is very good, and it is such a privilege to be able to do this and let our lights shine, because it's kind of a joy to let your light shine. And it can be tough, like even, you know, even here. This should be easy among the believers, but when you can let your light shine, sometimes I pull the old, I like to hide. Even in church, I kind of hide, and then I'll let my light shine kind of like this. I'll be like, oh yeah. I don't mean to brag, but yeah. Oh, it's like a Kiss concert. Woo! No, that's ridiculous. We need to like grab our, you know, spot lamps and like, say hello to my love friend, you know, just poof. Like, let your light shine. It's awesome. We should just let that. And, you know, now we're going to do some praise and worship. And, you know me, I like to, when I sing praise and worship, I like to dance. I'm just one of those people that likes to get into it. Now, if you're one of those people that likes to put your hands in the air, put your hands in the air like you've never put your hands in the air, because we're praising God here. And if you're a hand clapper, every clap, may that just be like the most powerful hand clap you have. So let's just do that now. Everyone stand. Let's praise the God.
Amen. Do you have a reason to shout this morning? Here we go. I've got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. I'm here to testify and tell you about a wonderful reason to shout. I've got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. I'm here to testify and tell you about my wonderful reason to shout. We've been through the fire. We've been through the flood. I'm here to testify and tell you about a wonderful reason to shout. Well, I've got a reason to shout. I was in darkness, but God brought me out. I'm here to testify and tell you about a wonderful reason to shout. We've been through the fire. We've been through the flood.
Voice to God, praise with the Spirit and of understanding.
Yes, Lord.
Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Clothed in glory and arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Clothed in glory and arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is He. Let us lift His name on high. Celebrate His grace. For He has redeemed our lives and He reigns on high. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He. Clothed in glory and arrayed in splendor. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is He.
Hallelujah. Have you been redeemed this morning? Has He redeemed your life? If not, you maybe don't have a reason to shout. But if He has redeemed you, He has called you by name, and you know that you are His, we can shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship You.
Down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your
powerful your majesty reigns. Hallelujah, Lord. Worthy to be praised. You are worthy, Lord. So bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Servant today will stand and bring a message of life or call him to the forefront. The battle is always in the forefront, and on the rear guard takes care of the matters behind. But this servant comes with an anointing upon his lips, upon his heart, and he's a servant of mine, and yet he stands upright like a king and a priest. So listen and take note. For I will not favor any person or no assembly. But the spirit that I'm setting on the land is what I have set there. And this is the hour when I'm moving the church out of stagnancy into the move of the spirit. And the kingdom of the heaven is to be brought down here on earth. There is such a need. And my people are dying of lack of knowledge or disobedience because they have not fed in a way that they can come out of that. But this assembly is held responsible to stand and have that koinonia amongst you, oneness of spirit, that you'll blend into each other's heart and melt into each other's heart and take care of the wounds in each other's heart and love and embrace each one, that you come into the fullness of your own walk. No man stands alone, but not in every assembly can you caress the heart of the other man or the other woman. But this is a heart of caressing in this assembly, and I bless you for that. There's another mile, children, farther out. You have one on the land today that is speaking as an apostle. He's bringing a message of life in another territory. He will hold a lamp with a fire in the direction of days to come, because I'm going to set more structure into this church. This is an awesome hour, children, and I bless you. And I put my peace upon you. And I'm going to woo you in.
Chris mentioned all the things that are going on in our world in the news, and you know, it would be really easy to get angry and frustrated with our country and our government and even with other believers, but we're called to bring the gospel, the good news, to the world. Sinners sin, the world sins, and that's what was expected. But this next song talks about your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness draws me to your side. If we want people to come to the Lord, we're not going to win them by hatred and telling them how horrible they are. But we need them to feel the love of Jesus coming from our lives. We don't have to agree with what they're doing, but let God's kindness draw them. Let his goodness bring them to repentance. And his mercy will cause them to want to be like him. Amen. Your kindness leads me to repentance. Your goodness, it draws me to your side. And your mercy, it calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. And every day I'll awake. You are good. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are good. Draw me to your side, Lord. Hallelujah.
In your kindness, it leads me to repentance. In your goodness, it draws me to your side. In your mercy, it calls me to be like you. Your favor is my delight. And every day I'll awaken my praise, and I'll pour out a song from my heart. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever.
This morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are good, Lord. You are faithful. You are merciful to me, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your patience with us, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your gentleness in our weaknesses. Hallelujah, Lord. We just bless your name. You are so good. So good, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are good. You're so good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. your presence, Lord. In Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. Nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free. Shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. In Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your
time, and just welcome into your heart.
In Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Lord, we wait for you, Lord. Oh, we hunger and thirst for you. We hunger for you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship you. I need thee,
Yes, oh Jesus, we worship you. Oh Lord, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy, Lord. Father God, we lift ourselves up to you and we say we need you, Lord. We desperately need you. Without you, God, we are nothing. But thank you, Lord, that in Christ we are something. We're your child. We are your inheritance, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, that you meet our needs, that we can call to you, that we can seek you, and that you hear us, and that you desire to meet our needs. And Father, now we just want to bless you with our praises. We thank you, God, that you've met us here. We welcome your Holy Spirit to move in this service and in our lives. And God, we just lift our prayers up to you this morning. We lift our praises to you. Would you just lift your voices with me this morning? Just praise him for who he is. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. You are high above all others, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are my righteousness, Lord, my salvation. You are my strong tower, my Prince of Peace, my comforter, my all in all, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. I need you. I need you desperately today. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let your spirit come and fill this place, Lord. Flood this place with your atmosphere, Jesus. Flood this place with your presence. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We welcome you here, Lord. We welcome you here. Yes, Jesus.
So if you need a healing in your body today, whether it be in your mind or your physical body, or if you're being tormented, or maybe you know somebody that you could intercede for to receive healing, why don't you step out in the aisle? We'll have people gather with you, and we can be free from those things. How is Art doing? Is he okay?
Tough day?
I think we're just gonna go right into the message today. So I don't know if you got children's church going on or whatever. I just long for the people to forever protect what God has given us, and that's His Holy Spirit. He's given us that. You know, that's the promise. But it comes with a gift, and the gift is eternal life. But I believe without the acceptance of the Holy Spirit, something happens, and it doesn't lead to eternal life. There's a part in this message that I need strength for because I don't want to bring it. I just sense that there's people that when they walk, there's some distractions that come in. And so oftentimes we give We give attention to the distraction and we forget all about Jesus. Jesus was distracted his whole way through life. Where are we? We get caught up and wrapped up into the distraction, and it's called the world. Because we can't discipline ourselves enough to pull ourselves out of the world. We can't discipline ourselves enough to tell our flesh that, hey, I am not to be living like this. I am not to be living like the ways of the world. I am to be like Jesus. How can we be like Jesus without the Holy Spirit? And for some of you today, that's weird. But I'm going to bring forth the truth today. I'm going to bring forth the truth. I've said it from the time God started working on me. I said, Father God, I will speak your truth. There will be no compromise come out of my mouth. I will bring forth your truth. I sense today that there's people in here that there's a walk going on, but oftentimes there's a stumble that's been put in us, and it cripples us a little bit, and we rely on the limp. But instead of, we don't rely on the construction that can come forth and set us free from the limp. Oftentimes you can go from the first part of the Bible to the last ending. Jesus is from there before the beginning, and he's there at the end. Hallelujah! Does that excite you or no? Or is it just, bleh? You know what I mean? We should be on roller skates all the time. You know what I'm saying? These things that we wear, they kind of can grab a hold, you know, and they don't let things move. But you put the rollers underneath and you can roll. You know what I'm saying? So I say today, let's roll with the Holy Spirit. What do you say? Amen. Does that excite you? Yeah. All right. Let's go to, I wanna go to Romans. I wanna go to the book of Romans. Hallelujah. You know, I've come into agreement with myself to say, you know, it's an agreement with a disagreement. Because every day I have to wake up and really there's something that wants to pull me away from the presence of God. And the presence of God is so awesome. So what I'm saying is that I just have to tell myself, you know what? Today, once again, I'm going to stand in the awe of your awesomeness. You know what I'm saying? That's the goodness. That's the goodness God brings forth. So, what I'm just going to... Thing's kind of weird. I want to break down Romans, but we don't have time to go through the 16 chapters word for word, obviously. But I want to go through the first part. I encourage you to read the book of Romans this week after we're done with this message. Read the book of Romans. You know, Carol introduced, she said, have you ever heard of the Roman Road? And I don't even know what that means. You know, but if you read that, you will find, if you read the book of Romans, you will find what Paul is saying to the Romans. Okay? What he's saying is, in the first part, he's saying, man is without excuse. Amen. If you think you're walking on your own dirt, you're not. If you think you're walking in your own business, you're not. Because you're to be about the Father's business. Every day, that's the work of the kingdom. There's got to be a difference. There's got to be a difference. Are you in the world or are you of the world? Ask yourself that question. Am I in the world or am I of the world? Because the disciples weren't of the world. They were sent in the world. But it was to bring forth the truth of the gospel. Well, the truth of the gospel today is what? What do we hear about the truth of the gospel? That Jesus Christ died for my sins. Hallelujah! Past, present, and future. But what I'm saying is there's more to the truth of the good news of the gospel. And it's called the power of His... Woohoo! That sets me on fire. You know what I'm saying? I want to be like the bush in the book of Moses. I want to be like that. You know what? I am like that. That's the confidence we need to say. Why? Because there's a doubt there. You know what I'm saying? Am I really? Can I? You know? You know? Chapters 4 and 5 and 6 in Romans, what do they talk about? They bring forth Adam. What about Adam? I'm sorry, but Adam messed up. But then they bring forth Jesus. Jesus never messed up. Praise the Lord. So what do we have to do? I'm going to speak some confidence here today. And it's for myself as well. I want everybody to understand that when somebody gives a message, it's for themselves as well. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Don't want to say, well, that's what he's saying. No! There's something else that's going on. Okay, so in chapter 6, what do we get? We get Jesus. And Jesus never messed up. So what do we do in chapters 5 and 6? We die to that old man, Adam. And we rise to that new man, Christ. That's what it says. So if we die to that old man, Adam, and we rise to that new man, Christ, what's going on? We're making a decision. But really, there's a battle going on inside of us saying, you don't really have to. Yes, I want to. You don't really have to. Yes, I want to. You don't really have to. Yes, I want to. You know? But there's something in there that's, you know, and it's called free will. That the world church has twisted up. And they've brought forth free will to, you know, you can do that. You can do that if you want. But really the word is saying, you have the will to be free. Woohoo! I've got the will to be free. Can I do it on my own? Think so. You know, Satan's been trying to do it on his own. Been trying to do it on his own. Come on. Is Satan real to you or no? He better be, or you're deceived. He's already got you deceived. Romans 8 is where I want to focus today. I'm not going to tell you about the last half of the book of Romans. I guess you'll just have to read it. But you're going to find in Romans 16 is a pretty foundational area. But anyway, Romans 8. So okay, we've died to that old man Adam. We've rose up in the new man Christ. Okay. Now I'm going to jump ahead to chapter 7. With Apostle Paul, he's like, why do I struggle, blah, blah, blah? Because of sin living in me. There's something going on. He's got some mixed bag stuff going on. But he makes a choice in there. Where I'm just going to read it in 7:22. I'm telling you, the message of this, the title to this message, I told Spencer, I said, this about, I don't know how long ago, a month or better, I said, I've got a title to a message, but I don't know what it's for, but we're gonna knock the locks off the works of the law. You hear what I'm saying? We're gonna knock the locks off the works of the law. But cause we got Christians running around, we go, what can I do, man? I gotta do something. I'm on fire. I want everybody to see it. You know, but instead we are to be in the secret place and God's gonna give us a strategy so we can move through and we're gonna be able to see what's bothering people. You know, that's how the disciples walked. They walked with that power and authority which came through confidence of what Jesus did for them. Now you can go through the 11, all the 11 of the disciples, there was 12, right? One of them messed up and sold Jesus. One of them messed up and sold Jesus. You know, and we got the church, you know, that comes in and says, well, this is going to hit you. We got the church saying, well, you know, Judas hung himself. That's why I went to hell. Did Judas go to hell? The word says, for he went to where he deserved. But really, I see it differently. I see it as the betrayal. You know, and betrayal follows reject. And reject means not putting something to use. Well, I don't deny him. Well, what are you doing then? It's the same thing. Deny and reject is the same thing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we need to get serious about what's going on in this book. Okay, we're going to knock the locks off the works of the law. For verse 22, Apostle Paul says, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. That's, you know, that's where a lot of people will sit. I understand we're sinners. But I'm sorry. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not perfect, but I am to be perfect. Therefore, I will bring forth excellence. And the excellence is the truth of God's word. Why should any of our lives be any different? Okay, we're just going to read through Romans 8. When I read the word, I like to look for the baptisms. You know, baptisms are very important to me. We got denominations, and we got non-denominational churches that, you know, we're gonna baptize you into the name of our church. I mean, are you kidding me? That's horrible. I believe every church name should be called The Way. Because that was the first church, and it's to be the only church. You don't believe me? You'll find it in the book of Acts. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but it's in there. I don't know why, Mom, but I was just supposed to tell you this. I thank you for your obedience through the years. And I don't lift my mother up to be some whatever. But since I can remember, I've seen this woman love and respect the presence of God and the power of His mightiness. This is a scripture verse in 8:1 that, you know, it can't stand alone, but many will put it alone. Where it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. But we leave that. You see, we got. Well, there's no condemnation for those who are with Christ. Right? We leave that. But there's something that follows that. And it's the law of the Spirit. What is the law of the Spirit? I'm going to go back to Romans 2. Go back to Romans 2 because I think you need to see it for yourself. Actually, it's Romans 1:4. And then I'm going to read Romans 2:4. And I find it awesome that Carol spoke it out. That excites me. I mean, there's some going on. There's a realm. So 1:4, it says, "And who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." Was Jesus a man? Jesus was born a baby, right? Just like we were. Jesus was a man. Jesus had to do what? Jesus had to do two things. Jesus had to humble Himself. Why should we be any different? I was one of the most prideful, arrogant people that I think I could. I don't even know if I could stand myself. No, that's the truth, right, Howard? Right, Lindy? You two knew me the best. If you wanted to know something, I'd tell you. So Jesus had to humble Himself, and he had to become obedient. Obedient to what? Obedient even unto death on a cross. It goes right back to, if you want to be my disciple, are we to all be disciples? That's the message in the book of Acts, was for the disciples who became apostles were to do what? Make disciples of all the nations. Now you think to yourself, you know, there's some rottenness that's came in and said, well, that died with them. I mean, really? Is that what we're going to believe? That died with them? That went away with the prophets? God's always been ahead of Satan. Always. So it goes right back. In order to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross and follow me. Follow me where? Follow me to Calvary. Follow me to the place of the skull and do what? Crucify yourself. Crucify your old ways of living. No, I don't want to be a disciple. And all I can say is you're in a dangerous position. But there's so much more. What holds us back from being a disciple or becoming a disciple or wanting to become a disciple? Really, it's ourselves. Okay, let's read in Romans 2:4. What does it say? God's kindness is to lead us to repentance. So if God is so kind to lead us to repentance, what follows repentance? I'm not doing that anymore. That's what follows repentance. Otherwise, it's just mere thinking. Humanism. There's a difference. So let's go back to Romans 8. We'll keep reading. I want everybody to look at the one sitting beside you and just say, "I'm fearless." And just say it again. Just say, I'm fearless. Yeah. We need to get some aggression behind our speaking.
I'm fearless.
Yeah! We are fearless. Why? Because that's what we're facing. We're facing fear. The enemy comes with fear all the time. He comes with doubt, with inflicts fear. You know, and really, it's like, to our own, as soon as we need to give a shout and get the doubt out. You know? We go and get some cheer, you know, and put in and get the stain out. Okay. It's kind of funny, but. Okay. Set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. What do you think the righteous requirement is? Just ask yourself that, or, you know, answer that to yourself. What do you think the righteous requirement is? Well, we're going to find out. Who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, when I first came in here, I remember when Jeff would preach on and talk about flesh, I'd be like, oh, that is weird. Why does it flesh? That's just disgusting. You know, that's what I thought. But it says here, the Greek word for flesh is sarx, S-A-R-X. Refers to the sinful state of human beings. Often presented as a power in opposition to the Spirit. That's why I say there's always a battle going on within ourselves. Our flesh wants to rise up, but really our spirit wants to take control. But our flesh wants to take control. That's why I say you can't do it on your own. We need a guide. And that guide is the Holy Spirit. You know, we find that in the book of John, where Jesus says, I will have my Father send His Spirit, the Spirit which He gave me. So the righteous requirement is that we do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. There's a difference. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Jump over to Mark. Yeah, Mark 6. You can read this same deal, but it's a little bit different in each one. It's in Matthew, and it's in John, and it's in Mark. Now, Jesus had just... Are we everybody there? Jesus had just... we're going to start in 45. Matthew 6, 45. Mark, sorry. Excuse me. Now we find in the parable before that Jesus fed the 5,000, and it was an amazingly deal that Jesus performed there, where they had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they fed 5,000 people, and they ended up with 12 baskets full of food. You know what I mean? That's great. How did that happen? It doesn't matter. It just did. You know? I mean, we get caught up in trying to figure out the mystery of things. And really, it's not for us to figure out. It's just for us to come into agreement. Now, I'm going to show you in this area of 40, when we start in 45 here, it says Jesus walks on the water. We all know this area, you know, pretty well, I guess. But it says immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against him. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at that place and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, Paul recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick on the marketplaces. Or they placed the sick in the marketplace. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. But you see in there where disbelief entered into them, guys? And actually, it was a little bit of, you know, they were wondering, how did Jesus perform this? How did this take place? But they couldn't figure it out, so their hearts were hardened. They came into, really, they couldn't understand it, so, you know, they became I want to say, almost disillusioned. That's why they couldn't recognize Jesus. They'd lost the hookup. Jump over to Matthew and let's read it out of Matthew. I just ask that you hang in there today. Matthew 14. Matthew gives us a different area to look at. And what I see in here is oftentimes how our walks start to go. It says immediately Jesus made 22, Matthew 14, 22. It says immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Let's jump down to 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. I just see that as ourselves. We can come to church and we can worship Jesus and everything's going on and we got the hype and whatnot. When we go outside these doors, all of a sudden Satan whacks us and down we go and we try and get up, but we just can't. And that's what that's what Peter did when he came out of the boat. He said, Come, call me, Lord. Call me, Lord. I want to be used, Lord. Call me, Lord. So Peter stepped out of the boat. I stepped out of that comfort zone, and I started to walk. I was walking on water, but the waves, the doubt, the fear came in, and they were hitting me. And all of a sudden, I lost my focus on Jesus, and I started to sink and stumble. But I said, "Lord, save me." And he picked me up, and he propped me where I needed to be. Has that happened in your life? I believe it has for some. I believe it has for some. Does that fit anybody? I'm going to go a little further into it in this area where I didn't want to go. But I pray that God gives me the strength to do it. I'm going to leave his name out, but I believe most of you know who he is. I walked a walk with a young man. And I believe I'm going to walk a walk with another young man facing similar situations. But I seen a young man sit and stand just like we are today. Worship the Lord. Battle the battles of life. And when something came into it that really rocked his life, rocked mine as well. But I seen something in this young man that as he walked and he would lose his own strength and he would fall down on his own. And as I would come along, I would pick him up and I'd walk alongside of him. I'd hang on to him. Where two of you gather that are in my midst, I will be in the midst as well. When it came down to the point to where he couldn't walk anymore, as I picked up this young man and I carried him outside and I put him in our vehicle, and he looked at me and he said, "I'm sorry." And I said, "Don't you ever say you're sorry to me again." As he walked his walk, he said, "I'm willing to die." He spoke those words. He said, "I'm willing to die." Why? Because that's the focus he had. He believed unto death that God would protect him. That God would see forth the best, not only in his place, but in ours as well. Now I'm going to tell you the story about another man. That his life became real during that walk. His life became real during that walk to me. I knew the knowledge, but I didn't see the realness. But I did when that young man fell down and I came alongside and picked him up. I seen myself falling down and I seen somebody coming along and picking me up. Just as Jesus fell down, as the world lashed things on him, as disease was lashed on him, as sin was, your sin was lashed on him. Why? Because he was perfect. He said, "Father, I'm willing to die." As he entered Gethsemane, he was troubled. He knew the time was coming and he was troubled. But how gracious God was. He sent angels to minister to him. But he had to make a choice first before the angels came. Where he rose up off of his knees and he said, "Father God, not your will. Not my will, but your will." And he made a decision to continue on. Where are we at in our walks? Where are we at in our walks? That's the realness of the reality of Jesus. Jesus died for me. Hallelujah. But there was something released. You know there were three baptisms at the cross? There were three baptisms offered. When they speared Jesus in the side, what came out? And? Blood. Water and blood. Blood was for repentance. And the water was for the renewal. I also see it like this. It's the first covenant and the second covenant. It's the first covenant in the Old Testament where Jesus was saying, I was there before the creation of the world. Come on, who knows the word? If I don't start it, Genesis 1:1. If you don't believe that, it's in John. If you don't like the Old Testament, get into John. For the book John says, John 1:1, the Word was with Him in the beginning. Really? Before the beginning. Okay? So that's the first covenant. And the second covenant is the water. We just seen that in Romans 5. But the third baptism is this. When Jesus said, "It's finished," what happened? He gave up His Spirit. The King James says, He gave up the Ghost. I'm not trying to introduce ghosts. I'm trying to introduce the realness to Jesus. That there's something we can't see that's offered to us. Does everybody get the three baptisms there? Well, how did he get the ghost? This is how it's so important of us to read our Bibles. And I haven't read my Bible for very long. Some of you have read it for decades. Praise the Lord. My hat's off to you. Some of us, we're lucky if we get a chapter a month read. You know? We come into the buildings and we rely on the pastor to get fed. Don't get me wrong. It's pastor's duty to teach and instruct. But we have a responsibility as well. We're all to be what, Spencer? Disciples. We're all to be. And what did the disciples do? The disciples taught the ways of the kingdom because they walked with Jesus. Are you walking with Jesus today or are you walking with yourself? You're fearless, remember? Some of this message is kind of dry for some of you, but I believe as you go forth through the week, go back to Romans 8. As you go forth through the week, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to minister to you. And there's some things that are going to start coming into realization in your own lives. There's one thing that I think we all battle, and that's the spirit of control, where we want to be in charge. And I can tell you flat out, that spirit of control is going to head you right for destruction. I faced it myself. So give the spirit of control a kick in the rear. Okay, back to Romans 8. Though we read, the mind governed by the flesh, which that's obviously where we've seen where the disciples were. You know, because they became hard-hearted. How did Jesus do that? Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Oh, that's a tough area. Jump over to John. John 15. This is just a question for you. You know, do you think the world's going to get better? You know, somebody told me that, you know, well, it's got to get better. It's against the Word. That's truth. That's why I say we need to be serious. Is Jesus God? It's a question for some of you. Is Jesus God? You know, because in Romans 10:9 we say, you know, confess that Jesus is Lord. You know, I've always wondered about this scripture, where David says, I saw the Lord talking to my Lord. Was it David in the New Testament? But the words that he spoke were, I seen the Lord talking to my Lord. Was Jesus in the beginning? Was Jesus with God in the beginning? So I saw my Lord. I saw the Lord talking to my Lord. You know, that's a pretty good confusing area. But to me, you got to go right from there to the Apostle Thomas. And how many of us can fit the Apostle Thomas? Yeah, let's get honest, you know, sometimes, you know. But, you know, Thomas, some of you don't know maybe, but Thomas doubted the resurrection of Jesus. Where he showed up and said, Thomas, stick your finger in my piercings, or here, whatever. We got confusion in the world today. Was it in the hand, or was it in the wrist, or I don't know. He was pierced. And then he said, thrust your hand or your fist in my side. And when he'd done that, he said what? You'll find this if you search, and I can tell you where it is. You are my Lord and my God. Now here's a man that walked with Jesus in the real. He smelled Jesus, touched Jesus, laughed with Jesus, ate with Jesus, drank with Jesus. He said, now he's calling him Lord and my God. Why should we be any different? In this world, we are to be like Jesus. How do we become like Jesus? Okay. 14:15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands. Did Jesus come with 10 commandments? He did. The law of Moses was the 10 commandments placed here. And the prophets, the law of the prophets were placed here. Hold on, hang on, whoa, resurrected around here. But really, he brought everything to order in the middle, which came with two, that connected everything that was spoke, what was to come, that narrowed the law down to, if you believe, you'll love your God, the only God, and that you'll love your neighbor as yourself, covers all them other 10. You'll keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. How long is that? Forever! Hallelujah! The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him. Why? Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. He walks with me and he talks with me. God's perfecting my voice. You know, I can't do it on my own, but he calls me my own. Everybody look at your partner and say, I love Jesus. That's pretty neat, isn't it? My flesh stinks. I just like that area. But this is what he tells us. You know, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. That's pretty powerful. But the world won't see me, but you will see me. That's why I think the message of the disciples, you know, the enemy really wanted to cover that up. Why? Because there was something released to mankind. And it was the Holy Spirit. And there's gifts that are given to those who are obedient, that obey the law of the Spirit. You know you're born with a spirit, but we have to receive a spirit. We're born with a human spirit. It's what the breath of life is. We're born with a spirit. It's called the human spirit. But we have to make a choice to say no to that human spirit. As Jesus was born in a sinful nature of man. He was born just like we were into the sinful world. That's the question that I'm trying to get at is this. Or it's a statement. It's, yeah, but that was Jesus. But the Word says we are all to be like Jesus. Well, we battle this doubt. And it frustrates me because we've allowed the doubt and confusion to come into the church. And now we got same-sex marriage. And how are we going to handle that? I'll tell you how the world church is going to handle it. You're okay. Come on in. You're all right. Do I believe they're welcome in this place? Absolutely. Because I was a sinner. Just like them. Was I gay? No. Praise the Lord. But I had other areas. I had drunkenness. I had hatred. I had discord. I had malice. I had slander. Oh. See what I mean? There's a difference. But what happened? The truth set me free. And that's available to them too. But isn't it going to come out of the words of our own? But we've got them in the church. Perverting the gospel. And that, it just frustrates me. It angers me. It does. But here's what I'm going to tell you. What the goats are going to do to the homosexuals. John 8. This is what the goats are going to do to the homosexuals. They're going to drag her in. Him in. Them in. How many times do we want to do that? That's where this Romans 8 is going to come into effect. If we love them, we're going to tell them, you're wrong. I've addressed people that have been brought in front of me, but I believe the Lord. And the only way I could address them is, you're wrong. But the same love offering that was for me is for you. And that's Jesus. But you got to accept the truth. And the truth is that you're wrong. Otherwise, if we just say, I believe this is a very important part here. If we just say, you're okay, we're operating out of the flesh. Because we don't want, it's a compromise. Because we don't want to bring forth any type of, kind of dying. I don't want to, just come on. The heck with it. God will point it out to them. Prayer is very powerful. But the disciples also walked in what? They walked in power, but they walked in love, and they walked in self-discipline. Love, power, sound mind. Let's read that. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1. I tell you this because this is where I was at, and Howard, he can walk right with me in this group. If I'm going to throw myself under the bus, Howard's got to come too. Yeah. But this is where we were. I mean, it was one of those things where if you're going to disagree with me, we're going to get this stuff settled. That's the way I was raised. If it's wrong, you make it right. But it was in the wrong way. It was in the right with anger. Man, we've been in more bars and thrown out of bars and stuff like that. But praise God, Carol has to tell us when to go home out of the church. Yeah, I love that. Praise the Lord. It's that presence. Myself stinks. One six. This is why I say you're to be fearless. Just look at each other and say, I'm fearless.
I'm fearless.
Yes. Hallelujah. Because this is where it comes in. It says, for this reason I remind you. Let's jump up to 3. And this is Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience. As night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I am reminded to fan into flame. Set that bush on fire. Glenn, I love Glenn's story. Every time you talk to Glenn, he just tells you, man, I was saved in Wafton. I love that story. Glenn could tell me that story 1,000 times, and I just sit and listen to it. That's the realness in his life. Is he stunk? But Jesus put an aroma on him, and it's the aroma of Christ. Amen? Okay, we're going to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. I'm just going to speak behind here today. And I hope you all accept what is going to be brought forth. Wouldn't that be goofy? But that's the pastors of today. Why? Because the enemy has dethroned the pulpit. He's took the truth out of the pulpit and brought in compromise, excuses. You know, it's serious. What does it give us? But the Spirit gives us power, gives us love, and a sound mind. Now, this is some different versions. The King James says the same thing. The English version says power, love, and self-control. Are you in control of yourself? Because if we're not in control of ourselves, we're what? Out of control. This is a prime example of what took place. You know, our technology has rose to extremes where we got robotic tractors. Maybe you don't want to retire yet, Odin. Maybe you'll get a robotic tractor. Maybe we'll sit on the prairie road. You know? But this would happen. Somebody said a farmer had bought a robotic tractor, had it in the field, and he was sitting on the end of the field, and the tractor was headed down the other end. Now, keep in mind, this is a brand new piece of equipment, this robotic tractor. It was like, I think, over $500,000, they said. And behind it was an air seater, which was probably $100,000 or more. So we got this robotic, we got this farmer down on the end of the road. Something didn't work. The tractor drives up a telephone pole and finally dies itself out, but twists everything up behind it. But do you get the point of that message? Without the guide, we often go in our own direction, maybe do the things that we want to do ourselves, and behind us, we got everything twisted up to where pretty soon the enemy's got us in the bondage of what? Sin again. I love Brendan's story. I wish he was here. Where he could say, you know, where I was at, I could still hear God's voice saying, "What are you doing? I love you." That's how good God is. That's how good God is. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. But oftentimes we rush out ahead. Let's finish up here. It says, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." What do you think he entrusted to him? What do you think the Apostle Paul entrusted to him? His life. His life. We haven't even dreamed to see the persecutions that the Apostle Paul received. or Jesus. That's where the distinction is going to come in. That's where the difference is going to come in. When the true rubber meets the road. What shoes are you wearing, your own or the gospel of peace? Because our feet can direct our path as well. So he entrusted himself. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. What do you think the good deposit is? I believe it to be eternal life. Because without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have eternal life. How many want to go home? I got to finish up in Romans 8. I thought we'd be finished there, but I guess we're not. Romans 8:10. It says, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, you know, sin doesn't belong to you. But sin is there to attack us. Sin is there to try and destroy us. How? Through temptations. That's why I believe a very important part of the Lord's Prayer is, to lead us not into temptation, but pray that you will not be led into temptation, that you'll be strengthened for when temptation comes. You know, those are those waves that Peter faced, you know, that they came to bring a distraction, to take him out of the focus of God. The Spirit gives life. Death because of sin, the Spirit gives life. Because of righteousness. Well, what is the righteous requirement? Then we got to go back up to 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. That's awesome, right? This is the part that I want people to really see. You know, my flesh is battling this, but I pray that God puts me in front of thousands. I really do. Thousands. Because there's something that's been stolen from them. And I pray that for yourselves, that you'll be put in front of thousands and be properly clothed, be properly disciplined. I'm not saying I'm somebody special. But what I'm saying is what I have is. I've crucified the flesh. I've made a choice. But here it is. It says, Apostle Paul says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. And the King James says, we are debtors. We are debtors. If you're a debtor, what does that mean? Yeah. Oftentimes we live as creditors. We're waiting for the handout. Right? I'm going to repeat that. Oftentimes we live as creditors. We wait for the handout. I'm good. It's in the church, I'm telling you. The world doesn't know because the church is screwed up. They've lost the focus from the beginning. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Everybody say, I'm fearless. We're going to get that through today. You are to be fearless. That whatever the enemy brings our way, we'd say no more. We're not putting up with you no more. Jesus didn't. Why should we? The Apostle Paul walked for years suffering from a what? A tormenting spirit. You're a liar. You didn't hear that right. You didn't bring forth that message. That was a joke. You don't need to repent. You're good. Jesus died for you. Really, he's not alive. He's dead. That's what the enemy wants us to believe. Why? Because then there's no power in the resurrection. It says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Read the book of Ephesians. I'm telling you. That'll set your rocket on fire and you'll fly around like the Jetsons. Many don't know the Jetsons, but... And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Man, don't you want to share in the glory? Amen. Praise the Lord. But I see three baptisms in here. And in order for there to be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, we need to receive the baptism of repentance. That's number one. 8:14 through 17, I see water baptism. That's number two. Number three, 8:29 is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes we stay in the saved area and really we aren't saved. We have to be able to say that the old is gone and the new has come. The old ways of living will not be carried on anymore. And that's a tough message to receive. That's the truth of the gospel. What would it have been like if the disciples would have kept on living the way the world lived? It would have been false. Is that correct or no? I don't know why, but I'm supposed to read 113. Psalms 113. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you His servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Man. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth. Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And He seats them with princes, with the princes of His people. He settles the childless woman in her home. As a happy mother of children, praise the Lord. That's awesome. That's just an area where God is just flat awesome. So I don't know why. I just really think we need to sing that Holy Spirit song again. I really do. It's just a excellent. Please.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope, Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In Your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence, Lord, Your presence, Lord. And Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be Your presence, Lord, Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness. Let us become more aware of Your presence. Let us experience the glory of Your goodness.
Yes, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. In Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Yes, Lord. I'm just going to open it up. If somebody's been battling shame or condemnation, any tricks of the enemy, I just ask that you come forth. And Lindy and I will pray for you. Just keep on playing, Carol.
There's nothing worth more than will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.